You know, I couldn't help but think, as Brother Gerald was playing the saw, of the story of Moses found in Exodus chapter 3, where God is telling him that he's to go to deliver the children of Israel, and Moses is struggling with that call, and there comes a point God says, "What's that in your hand, Moses?" And God took that shepherd's staff and delivered his people. And I thought, I imagine there was a day in Gerald's life that God began to work and he wanted to do something for the Lord. And the Lord says, "What's that in your hand?" And it was a saw. But let me tell you something. When you see these kids' faces and the delight that was on them, and I wasn't even looking at the adults to find out how many of you were excited about what was taking place. But when a man can make a child smile with spiritual things, that is something in the 21st century. And brother, I rejoice in your ministry. May God bless you as you go to prisons and schools and do your reenactments and play your saw. Well, this evening we are returning to our study, this series that we're doing on learning to forgive. And tonight we are going to focus on the matter of offenses. You remember that the last time we were in this study, which was a couple of weeks ago, we saw the Lord Jesus saying that it was impossible, but offenses would come. And I entitled the message, "Expect to be Offended." And it's going to happen, just mark it down. Well, tonight, in this next message, we're going to look at the different type of offenses that we experience. And we're going to talk about a proper biblical response to these different types of offenses. So let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our heart tonight. Father, you've given us a wonderful day together in your presence. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we have already received from this service thus far. Lord, we're thankful for the children and what they mean to us. To see them learning the things of God, to see them, Lord, freely praising you and blessing us. For Brother Gerald to be here tonight and to meet another member of the kingdom of God that in his own way is endeavoring to bring honor and glory to you, and how he has blessed us tonight. Father, we recognize that we are a people that need you. And we recognize that there are all sorts of things in this life that cut across the grain of our fallen nature and offend us. And Father, Lord, if we're ever to have the peace, the fellowship ultimately with you that you desire, the impact for Christ that you would desire, we've got to learn how to respond when we are offended. So I pray, Lord, tonight that your word would speak deeply to our hearts, that we would be honest with you, that, Father, we would believe that you can accomplish in us anything that you would instruct us in, and we would settle for nothing less than growth and nearness to our God. And, Father, if you'd do this tonight, we'd sure be grateful. For we pray and we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, I understand that this series that we're doing is entitled Learning to Forgive, but the reason we're spending time right now talking about the matter of offenses is offense and forgiveness is a two-sided coin. You understand the reason that we are put in a position that we as human beings need to forgive is because people offend us. And therefore, if we are going to learn to forgive, we need to understand the nature of offenses and how to respond to them when they come. Now, as thinking as I was preparing this message this week, at the different ways that offenses affect us. Because we as Christians sometimes are experts in evading the issue. We understand, most of us understand that, listen, if somebody offends me, I have got a biblical responsibility to forgive them, right? Therefore, I think at times in order to free us up of that responsibility to forgive and to really deal with it biblically, we like to call offenses something other than the Bible does. We would like to say, well, what you did really didn't offend me. It just really disappointed me. Or what that person did, I wouldn't say they offended me. They just hurt me. Thinking that if we put another face on it, that somehow that is going to make the offense go away or remove the responsibility that we have to forgive the offender. So I was thinking about the matter this week of how we respond to offenses. And before I got too far into it, I mean, looking at it from a human experience, from my experience standpoint, I thought, I wonder what the Bible says about how we respond to offenses. I mean, as human beings. And I came up with several things, and I'd just like to read these to you. Now, if you want, you can turn to the passages. We're not going to take a lot of time to do that, but I'll make sure that I give you the reference. And you see, even though maybe you struggle with how to describe what someone has done to you, listen, the way you respond to it gives it away clearly that you were offended by it. The first response I noticed to offense was one of revenge, vengeance. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean taking somebody's life. This has the idea, I will ultimately get even. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is Genesis chapter 20, verse number 9. Genesis 20 and verse number 9. And it is Abimelech talking to Abraham. And here's what it says. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? Now, listen to this. And what have I offended thee, that thou brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? In other words, what Abimelech is saying, what did I do to you that you would bring this great sin upon me? Abimelech understood human nature enough to know that, hey, listen, if somebody is offended, they have a tendency at times, unless their relationship with God would change their character, they have a tendency at times to have an attitude, I'm going to get even. And let me ask you this. Do you have a habit of getting even with people? Making sure that they pay in some way for the hurt that they have caused you. And there's all sorts of ways we come up with as human beings to get even. Another thing I saw was that when an offense takes place, a rift is established. Rift, an estrangement. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 19, the Bible says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. In Jeremiah 37 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, What have I offended against thee, that ye have put me in prison?" In other words, whether it is the statement made in Proverbs about a brother offended is estranged to the point that he is harder, his favor is harder to be won back than taking a great city, or whether it's Jeremiah saying to Zedekiah, "Why have you treated me this way? How have I offended you that you've stuck me in prison?" There is this idea of separation. And you know what? One of the first indications that somebody has offended you is you step back in your relationship from them. You put them in your own prison of alienation because of the way that you're responding to what they've done to you. Third way I saw is that it causes us to question the character of the individual. Folks, we recognize the fact that none of us are perfect. We understand that the most mature Christian is not exempt from offending other people from time to time. Do you understand that? Remember, we saw in the first message that even the Lord Jesus, God Himself, offended John the Baptist. Not because Jesus did anything wrong, but because John misunderstood what Jesus did. I want you to look at this passage, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 3. This is about the 6 month point in John the Baptist's brief ministry. He has been arrested by Herod and placed in prison. He doesn't know it yet, but he's fixing to lose his head. But he does know that, listen, the situation looks pretty grim and it's not the way that I expected it to go. Matthew 11 and verse number 3. The Bible says that John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to Jesus with this message: "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." John was offended in Jesus. John got offended with Jesus because he did not understand why Jesus, if he was the Messiah, was letting him sit in prison. And the way John responded to this offense was to call into question whether Jesus was the Messiah or not. You know, at times when we get offended, we look at the offenders and we question their very character. We question their very sincerity. We look at them as if they are something any less than what we are. And because of the offense, doubts arise in our heart whether they are true friends, whether they are real Christians, whether they are sincere. Well, I would simply say, if my dear loving wife can offend me and I can offend her, hey, listen, we can offend one another without any problem, and we do not need to respond by calling into question one another's character. We have a sin nature. And at that particular moment in time, we failed and we offended. The fourth way that I see in the Bible that we respond to offense is with jealousy. While you're there in Matthew 11, just turn over a couple of chapters to Matthew 13. And the way this jealousy often manifests itself is that we start talking to other people about what the offender has done. In other words, we verbalize the offense. And folks, let me tell you something. One of the telltale signs that you have really been offended, regardless of what you want to call it, is that you start talking to other people about what someone has done to you. Now look at this example of Matthew 13:54. The Bible says, and when he, referring to the Lord Jesus, was coming to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." Now, folks, these individuals got offended with Jesus for what he did. And notice how they responded. They started talking about him. "Isn't this a carpenter's son? Don't we know his brothers? Aren't his sisters with us? Who does he think that he is?" And folks, let me tell you something. Regardless of what we call it, when you start talking to someone else about what someone has done to you, you are behaving biblically as if you have been offended. Number five. Look, if you would, at Matthew 24. A fifth response to offense is betrayal and hatred, according to the Scriptures. Notice what Jesus says in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24:10, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Here these individuals are offended, and the response to the offense is betrayal and hatred. Let me tell you something. Loyalty is a precious commodity in the eyes of the Lord. Being loyal friends. Being loyal to other people. But folks, let me tell you something. When we're offended, one of the clear indications is disloyalty. Doing things to others that there's no other way to describe it. It is a betrayal. A betrayal of friendship and hatred. And lastly, the last response I saw was one of anger. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 24, "Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not?" Now I understand, and we'll see tonight, there is something as a legitimate offense. Paul is talking about that. He was righteously indignant over wrong that was done and his anger was not sin. But folks, often ours is. We are offended, and our response to it is that we burn. Burn with anger towards that individual. Now, do you understand that these responses are wrong? As we spoke about this morning, do you understand that if this is the way that you respond to people that do things against you, your soul is going to be disquieted? Do you understand that if these are the ways that you typically respond to someone who does something against you, that God is endeavoring to change your life in this area? This is important to Him. These responses are unacceptable for the child of God that is serious about their relationship with God. I hear all sorts of things at times from Christians, folks. And on more than one occasion, I've had somebody sit across my desk who has been offended by someone. And I've listened to the offense. I've talked the person through it. I've told them how they need to respond. I've told them they need to forgive. And they have looked me in the eye and in so many words says, I have a right to be angry, and I am going to be angry. And folks, let me tell you something. You might choose to be angry. You might choose not to forgive. You might choose to hold a grudge. You might choose to respond the wrong way, but it will never be blessed of God. You will never come to a point in your life that you have peace about the response. It will be a joy robber. It will be a soul disquieter until you get on your face before God and you respond to that offense the right way. We can arch our back in defiance and say, I have my rights. But biblically, you lost all your rights the moment you bowed your head before the Lord Jesus and trusted Him as Savior. As I study the Scriptures, I see three types or levels of offenses. And when offenses come our way, we need to evaluate what type of offense is this where we can respond to it the way God wants us to. Now, if you are going to be able to evaluate the offense as it is unfolding, two things are going to be necessary. First of all, you're going to need to allow the Spirit of God to control your emotions. I am talking about, folks, when the person is standing in front of you doing the thing that is causing you to be offended. You are going to need to learn to die to yourself and look to the Spirit of God in that situation where your response to that offense can be one that is controlled, not emotional. If you ever remember anything that I say, after I'm gone, I would trust that you would remember that I said, we as Christians need to learn to step back from our emotions. We need to learn to have our lives yielded to the Spirit of God to the point when things are unfolding that we can step back from the way that we want to react, the way that we would respond in our self-centeredness, in our pride, in our sinfulness, and yield ourselves up to the Spirit of God and say to Him, in effect, Lord, how do you want me to look at this situation? How do you want me to respond to this situation? And the second thing that you're going to need to do if you're going to evaluate the type of offense that is taking place, you need to think, not just be controlled. You need to consciously think about what the person is saying. Where with understanding, you might know exactly how does God want me to respond to this. Spirit control, and think about what's taking place. Self-centeredness, pride, anger will cause us to make a big emotional deal out of the smallest of offenses. Let me repeat that. Self-centeredness, pride, anger will cause us to make the biggest deal out of the smallest of offenses. Folks, I just wish at times you could be a fly on the wall with some of the things Pastor John and I have to deal with. You cannot imagine what God's people allow themselves to be offended over. And regardless of what the person did, regardless of the legitimacy of the offense, their response is absolutely sinful. It is immature, it is self-centered, it demonstrates nothing of a life that is dead to the self, where Christ might be seen in them. Learning to die to herself and allowing Christ to control us will give us a grace that allows us to be unmoved even in the face of great, legitimate offenses. Remember the verse we looked at in Psalm 119:165? Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Folks, let me tell you the place God is trying to grow us to. God is trying to bring us to a point that absolutely nothing anyone does offends us one bit. Unless God would say to us in the offense, this is legitimate, and you have got a responsibility before me to do something about it, I'm going to use you as an instrument. And even in that situation, folks, self is out of the picture. I'm not responding to the offense, says Bruce Stewart. I'm responding to the offense because the Spirit of God is dealing with me and says, you've got a responsibility to help this individual in this area of their life. Three levels of offenses. Turn, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The first type of offense is the offense that you need to overlook. The first type of offense is the type of offense that you need to overlook. You need to overlook it. Now, this is a neat passage. Because Ecclesiastes is not the type of book people are real familiar with, there's a possibility you've never seen this verse. But I mean to tell you, true words have never been spoken. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Somebody tell me what this verse is saying in your own words. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's a sinner. Okay? That's the backdrop of this statement. Verse number 21. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oft times also thy own heart knowest that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Let me try to explain this in other words. I'm coming down the hall. Pastor John's office door is open and he's in there talking to someone. And as I approach, I hear him say something really nasty about me. I know. I realize that's probably hard to believe that he would ever do anything like that. But I overhear him say something unkind. Solomon would say, God would say to me, Bruce, don't let it offend you, because you yourself know that there were times that you can be thankful he wasn't around because you were talking about him. Folks, let me ask you, have you ever had this experience? Or am I alone in this? That your kids have done something that has really ticked you off. And as you are verbally lowering the boom on them, the Spirit of God is saying to you, you know, this is good preaching. You ought to listen to it. Because you just did exactly the same thing a day ago. Have you ever had that experience where you're reproving someone else for something and the Spirit of God convicts you, you know, you need to be real careful here. Because though maybe they need to have this reproof communicated to them, you sure don't want to get yourself in a situation that your correction is hypocritical. Because you have a problem with it too. Let me have you hold your place here and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 addresses this, and this is a passage that is often misunderstood. So I'd like to kill two birds with one stone. Matthew 7 and verse number 1 is probably one of the most famous verses in all the Word of God. At least it seems that all kinds of people know it. And you're hearing people say, "Judge not that you be not judged." And they say something like, "Oh, we should never pass judgment on anyone else." Well, they do well to read a little bit farther, because Jesus is not saying that it's wrong to pass judgment. Jesus is saying it is wrong to pass hypocritical judgment. Listen to what he says. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how will thy say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thy eye,' and behold, the beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite! First cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." This removing of the mote is judgment. And he says, don't do it. Don't put yourself in a position that you're correcting someone else when you've got a bigger problem with it than they do. Now, folks, there are some things that people say to us and people do to us that we just need to let it go. We need to look at it from a standpoint, listen, they're not perfect and I'm not perfect. Yes, what they said was unkind, but I've said unkind things too. It is just no big deal before the Lord. I'm not going to make it a big deal. And folks, with the importance that God places on us learning to die to ourselves and respond with meekness and humility, don't you know for sure that there are going to be plenty of times that He puts us in this sort of situation just to see whether we are growing, whether we are learning, whether we are responding the right way? There are some of you that are at the point still in your Christian life that the smallest offense, you feel compelled to respond to. God help you. He's trying to grow you past that. He's trying to bring you to the point that as the offense is unfolding, as you're hearing your dear friend talk about you like that, He's trying to bring you to the point that you've got the composure to say, "Lord, I heard it. I could make the choice to be offended. I'm not going to be. Because I sure don't want to judge him with a standard that I'm not prepared to be judged by. And I know that I've got a long way to go talking about other people too." Number two. The second level of offense is offenses that you can overlook. The first, offenses that you need to overlook because you do exactly the same thing. But the second type of offense I would consider to be more serious. If you will, the first type of offense, the type we need to overlook, are just frivolous things. Just things that we've got to go out of our way to get our nose out of joint over. But the second level are offenses that if I shared the offense with you, or you shared the offense with me, we'd look at each other and say, "You know, that really, I could understand why you were really upset by that. I could understand why that really offended you." But you know what? Biblically, the Bible teaches us that even in legitimate offenses, we have the ability to just overlook them, not make an issue out of them. You know, let me tell you something. The local church is like a family. And you can't live as close as we do with a family without realizing we've got all sorts of personalities in here, don't we? Some people have got a lot of grace. Some people don't have very much grace. Some people, you've come to learn to expect of them a certain consistency. Other people, boy, you just never know what to expect. That their tongue can be so sharp, they can be so harsh and so unkind, just in normal conversation. And living in close spiritual quarters as we do, it is easy, listen, to be offended by one another. But you know what? Just because this person has behaved wrongly, that does not mean that God does not want us just to overlook it. I mean, we could have a panel of 12 people, and I could share the offense with that panel, and categorically, all 12 people said, well, if it had been me, I would have spoken up. And maybe in another situation that'd be the right thing to do, but in this particular situation, God is saying to you, no, I want you to overlook it. You can do that. You should do that. That's what I'm asking you to do. Proverbs chapter 19, in verse number 11. This is an amazing verse, and it speaks to this matter that our emotions can be controlled by the Spirit of God, whether yours are being controlled or not. That does not mean that it's not possible for it to be different in your life. It's not unusual for some of God's people to be saved who in their former life had a terrible problem with their temper. And that was one of the things God started dealing with them about in the area of sanctification as soon as they got saved. And God brought them to a point that their temper was offered up to Christ and under the control of the Spirit of God. Oh, they were still capable of getting just as mad, just as angry as before. But every single time they were provoked, they've learned just to give it over to the Lord. And they've chosen not to get angry. Proverbs 19:11 addresses this. It says, the discretion of a man defers his anger. You know what discretion means? It means thinking something through. It means making the right choice. Oh yes, the young Christian might just fly into a rage and be able to say after the effect, I just lost my temper. I just couldn't control myself. Well, let me tell you something. You'll grow to the point that you'll find out how true that statement is. You cannot control yourself. Read the second chapter of the book of James. Every wild animal on earth has been tamed of man, but the tongue cannot be tamed apart from the Spirit of Christ. But Proverbs says that a man can have discretion given by God, and that discretion will defer his anger, will keep him from becoming angry. But notice the next part of this verse. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression. It is his glory. It is something for him to be commended for. That though the transgression, though the offense is legitimate, he has made the conscious choice. I'm not going to get upset about it. Oh, young people, I tell you what. I don't know your parents, but I'm a parent. And if there is one lesson that I would like young people to learn, is that you just need to learn that you don't have to respond to every offense. That as a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, and you can grow in your relationship with the Lord, that when your siblings say something that you don't like, you don't have to say anything. When they do something that's wrong to you, you don't have to respond and retaliate. You can just choose to overlook the transgression and trust God to work in their life. Husband and wife, let me tell you something. You don't have to respond every time your mate offends you. You don't have to be the other side of the equation that makes sure that a fight is going to take place. There are times that he or she can say something that is just totally inappropriate. Our panel of 12 would all agree it was absolutely wrong. It was uncalled for. But God would say to you, just let it go. Just overlook it. It is, God says, it is to your glory when you do it. You know what? And I don't know about you, but I feel good about times that I know that God looks at the situation and says, it was offensive. But God's Spirit has spoken to me and says, just let it go. And I've said, okay, I'll just let it go. And you know what? It's wonderful to have that feeling that I've done right for a change. And folks, more than simply just stopping a fight, more than simply just not getting angry, it is the spiritual growth that takes place in our life as we learn to depend upon the Spirit of God in a situation like that, as we learn to hear His voice, as we learn to yield up our rights and be obedient to Him. Listen, the implications of that are far greater than the momentary conflict of the offense. The third type of offenses that I see in the Scripture are offenses that should not be overlooked. First type, offenses you need to overlook because you do the same sort of thing. It is nothing. Don't make something out of it. Offenses you can overlook, sure, it's legitimate, but God would say to you, Just leave it be. Just die to yourself. Don't make it a fight. Don't allow yourself to be offended over this. But then there are times, folks, biblically, that it is an offense, and God would say to us, this is not to be overlooked. You have got a responsibility in it. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18. Remember, the Apostle Paul told Timothy that he needed to be a student of the Word of God, whereby he might be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. Do you understand that I could take any one of these first previous points? I could teach only that. I could attempt to biblically present a standard that you would follow, and it would be out of balance. Yes, God meant what he meant in Ecclesiastes. Don't take it too seriously what that person said. Yes, God meant what he meant. It's to your glory to overlook a transgression. But Matthew 18 is also in the Scriptures. And it brings balance into this, because there are times that the same God that would say to us, let it go, would say to us, no, in this situation, do not let it go. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. This brother is trespassing as well. Jesus doesn't say, overlook it, it'll be to your glory. He says, in this case, you go to that brother alone. And you talk to him alone, privately, about that offense. If he responds the right way, you've gained your brother. In other words, the offense has not estranged you from one another. Folks, it has been my experience that there are two types of people in the world. I'm talking about Christians. There are those that enjoy conflict. And there are those that avoid conflict at all cost. Now let me ask you a question. We'll just do a poll here. How many of you, if you would be honest, would say, if somebody offends me, I have absolutely no problem going to them, looking them in the eye, and saying, you offended me. Raise your hand. How many of you are comfortable doing that? Come on, get it up. Get it up. I wanted to make sure Pastor John had his hand up. I know him. I know him well enough. Okay? How many of you would say, I hate conflict? And I don't care whether somebody has offended me or not. I don't, if there's any way to avoid it, I don't want to go to them, sit down to them, and say, you offended me. Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of you don't know what you are. Or maybe a lot of you are right where you should be spiritually. Let me tell you something. This guy is the get in your face, no problem with it whatsoever. I am the avoided at all costs type guy. Hey, listen, anytime you ever have seen your pastor asserting himself, just mark it down, it is the grace of God in my life. Now, here's the problem. The personality that has no trouble getting in somebody's face and telling them they're wrong is going to need to learn that there's going to be times that God does not want you to respond that way. He does not want you to go to them. And even the times that he wants you to go to them, you're going to rely on yourself. You're going to rely on your own personality, and you might communicate the message. But God's going to do a work in that person's life in spite of you, not because of you. Yes, the message might be true, but the messenger's got a lot to learn about grace. But let me tell you something. For those of us that are on the other side of the equation, we would say, oh, these first 2 points, I can live pretty good with them, but this last point, going to them, oh, I could never do that. Let me tell you something. God is trying to bring you to the point in your spiritual life that you are able to go to them, because there's times that you need to. You need to be the person that sits down with them, looks them in the eye, and says, you offended me. And folks, you need to know yourself well enough what side of the issue you're on, and understand that if you're on the one side, God has got a work he's trying to do in your life. If you're on the other side, God's got a work he's trying to do in your life. But you need to understand there are times when offenses take place that the only proper response is prayerfully going to that individual, sitting down with them and communicating to them that they have offended you. Because God wants them to know it from somebody that is a credible witness in their life. God wants them to understand that their conduct hurt you. God wants them to understand and realize that this conduct is jeopardizing their fellowship with other people. And just as the individual that has no trouble with conflict needs to learn to die to themselves for the benefit of that person that they're reproving, that the reproof is Christ-like, not ugly. In the same way, the person that doesn't like conflict needs to learn to die to themselves where they can be an instrument in God's hand for good in the life of the person that needs the correction. Do you remember, what was it, 3 weeks ago? That Jesus says, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. This I can be sure of. You're not going to get very far into this week before you're going to have the opportunity to practice message tonight. And the two keys, for you growing to the point that you respond the right way to offenses is, number one, you walking close enough to the Lord that when the offense comes, immediately, spiritually, you're looking to Him. You're not responding in a spiritual knee-jerk reaction. You are dependent upon Him, and as it unfolds, you're thinking about what is taking place, and you're asking Him the whole time, Lord, how do you want me to respond to this? Should I just blow it off because it's no big deal? Would it be the type of thing that you would give me the grace and say, Bruce, sure, this is legitimate, but just choose to overlook it? Or would God be saying to you, I want you to go to them. I know it's hard for you, but this is what you need to do. You need to go to them. And folks, parents, might I say to you, you have got a responsibility not only to learn and practice this in your own life, you've got a responsibility to teach this to your children. You can't go bailing them out every time somebody offends them. You can't be talking them out of the offense every time somebody offends them. There are going to be times that the right counsel to your child is going to be, honey, you've got a choice. By God's grace, you need to overlook this. But if you cannot do that, you need to go to that individual and sit down with them and lovingly tell them they have offended you. And folks, maybe there's times in our children's life that when we begin teaching them this, we're going to have to sit down as parents, with the children and the offense, and help our children through it. But this is a lesson that must be learned in the Christian life. You might say to me, Pastor, how do I know whether God would have me to overlook the offense or go to the person and confront them? I'll tell you what I practice in my life. If I can, by the grace of God, overlook the offense. I mean, when the offense takes place and I get down on my knees before God and I pray and I talk to Him about it and I sort it out before Him and I forgive the person and I ask God to give me the grace not to make a big deal out of it, if indeed I do experience God's grace that I can get up and walk away from it, I take it from Him. He wants me to overlook it. But folks, if I can't get the thing off my mind, if no matter how much I pray, I'm still smarting because of it, I conclude it must be because God wants me to go and talk to the person. Father, thank You tonight for Your Word that not only brings us into eternal life, but teaches us how to live here on earth. Lord, the relationship that You have given us with one another is something that is precious, something that is to be valued and protected. But our adversary knows well that things can take place that cause us to be estranged from one another, alienated, offended. I pray tonight, Lord, something better for these folks. That they might see in Your Word tonight that You have called us to something higher, holier. Something that only can become real in our life as we are yielded to You and desiring Your will above ours. Lord, I realize tonight it's quite possible that there's somebody here that is struggling with a significant offense. Lord, I pray that Your Word has been timely for them. And if they need to let it go and get over it, not make a big deal about it, that they would bring it before You with that understanding and that desire, and that You would give them the grace just to walk away from it and not for it to impact their view or their relationship with that individual that has caused the offense. If on the other hand, Lord, they need to go and talk to that individual, that You would make that clear to them and that You would give them the grace to do it and in the right spirit. And Lord, coming out of that conflict, the relationship would be stronger and better than it's ever been before, because it's weathered the storm. Father, bless this time of invitation. Bring to a point of conclusion tonight that you desire to through this message. And we'll be grateful. For we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand if you would. Turn, if you would, in your hymn books to hymn number 350. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I invite you to come and just quiet yourself in prayer. We've had a wonderful day today. I can imagine that there have been many things that Lord has dealt with your heart about. Come and close this day in a way that honors and glorifies Him, in a way that brings His blessings upon your life. As we sing, you come.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Let's pray together as we and our Lord stay together. Heavenly Father, it was good today to be in Your house. Lord, a long day, a tiring day at times because of the work, maybe teaching Sunday school, children's church, choir, preaching, the different things we've done today. But Lord, it's been good. Remind us, Father, in our hearts that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, and that, Father, You reward, and, Father, You give us joy because of it. And, Father, to be in Your Word today, to understand these things this morning about Your grace and mercy, tonight, Father, about how we should respond in our Christian life when offenses come. Father, teach us, give us grace for the moment, and we recognize, Father, as it is typically in our Christian lives, these decisions need to be made before the offenses come, tonight, now, and how we're going to respond. And then, Father, when the offense comes, that we can rely on You and You give us grace for the moment. Thank You for letting us be with our church family today. We love You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for loving us first when we hated You and when we were enemies. You loved us. Thank You, Lord. And we ask these things in Your Son's precious name. Amen. God bless you.
Thinking 100.
they're making